Hello and welcome to At the Movies with Mike and Marie, a show where two film professors talk about movies. I'm Marie Westhaver.
And I'm Mike Giuliano.
And today we're going to talk about actor Sam Elliott, who has had quite an interesting career that seems to span opportunities to use this incredibly sound voice to play as many cowboys as they have roles for them, and then to sort of slide into a later career where he plays the Silver Fox, who is the romantic reward for various Hollywood actresses. But most people saw him for the first time in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where he played card player number two. But Mike, where do you want to start with Sam Elliott?
Actually, Butch Cassidy is a good place to start. He's very much a California kid, if you will. And, you know, in his case, Sacramento, born in 1944. And he does, you know, get into the movies in that period in the mid to late 60s. And the movie that really launches him, I think, Marie, in both a personal and a professional sense, is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, 1969. It's one of the big box office hits of the year. Now, on the one hand, he has a relatively small role. It's described as a bit part. I always like that expression, a bit part. He has a bit part in the film. But you know what? Anyone who was in that film would have gotten attention. You know what I mean? I don't care which card player you were at the table. You know what I mean? Millions of people watched that movie, and it's really not just a box office hit, but it was like a cultural phenomenon. So he's certainly not, you know, getting star treatment, but, you know, you get noticed for something like that. That's on the professional front. You know, this California kid who, like a lot of people of his generation, is getting into the movies in that time. What a nice way to kind of get yourself noticed there by casting agents as much as anything. But on a personal front, that's where, you know, he has, I don't know if it's where he first met her, I'm assuming it is, Catherine Ross. She's, you know, the female star. It's a male buddy-buddy picture, as we know, but there are women in it too. And she's the woman in it, basically. But anyway, it's for me quite interesting that in 1969, Catherine Ross is a star of Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and Sam Elliott's, you know, there. They meet on the set, or, you know, I'm assuming that was when they met or thereabouts. In any event, they would get married in 1984. And so, you know, I don't know his personal life in great detail, and I'm not sure I should be privy to everything. But, you know, I do know that, you know, he and Catherine Ross had known each other for a while and then eventually would get married. And I always like those stories where you have people who had worked together and then seem to have what strikes me as an outsider as a happy marriage, because those are so rare in Hollywood that it was kind of nice to see that happen. But Marie, let's talk a bit about that early image you struck, because the thing about Sam Elliott was he always had striking physicality, kind of rangy build, a gravelly voice, a kind of gravitas that way, whether in comic or dramatic mode. But, you know, he could hold the frame. You know, I always talk about that with actors. Who can hold the frame? So there are a lot of movies in which he may not even be the star, but when you see Sam Elliott, you not only recognize him, but he'll steal the scene just by standing in it. You know, that's a real virtue to have there. In terms of his early roles, so yeah, Butch Cassidy, you know, not a large role at all, as we keep saying, so I can't belabor it there. But the film that really starts to launch him as a quasi-star, and this is interesting because he's not quite the conventional leading man material, and he's not like a big movie star, but he's had star roles. He's also had a lot of character roles, where simply because of that presence that I've been referring to, you know, give him the role and let him be on screen in, you know, a handful of scenes, but he's going to make an impression. So one film where I think early in his career, he's on the verge of single, what I call single stardom, that he as an individual will be a movie star. And that would be Lifeguard from 1976. His character in that is a lifeguard, which, you know, again, you sometimes think, gee, wouldn't it be nice to have that as a job, you know, particularly on a nice summer day, and where you don't have to rescue anyone from the ocean, but just sit and enjoy the sand and the surf and the seagulls. But when you think about it, in terms of the social pecking order, it's not exactly the most highly esteemed of jobs. We all of them jokes about, well, you know, he got fired here or dropped out of school, whatever, and became a lifeguard. Now, whether that's fair or not, I mean, just in terms of social assumptions that, well, you know, you take that because his wife does sit in a chair and look out at the ocean or something and be able to swim, which helps. But in Lifeguard, the reason I harp on that is his character there, you know, it seems to be like sort of a beach bum kind of mentality. Sure, a lifeguard. But after his 15 year high school reunion, you know how when you meet people at that, it's like you're always sort of like measuring up, like, well, who's going on to get a Wall Street job and who's rich and who's this and that, who married well? We all do that kind of comparative shopping that way, right? And it's at that point where in the story, he has to sort of think it over, like, well, do I want to still be a lifeguard or should I, you know, take a real job? I'll call it that. Should I take a real job, be a businessman or something? And that movie did reasonably well. But the thing is, when I say it's like a single or standalone starring opportunity, he is the lifeguard. So that's the point where, you know, like, you know, 6-7 years after Butch Cassidy, he's been making movies and he's at the point where he could become a full-fledged movie star or maybe a movie star slash character actor. And honestly, that's where I see him. I see him in that latter category. Sometimes a movie star, yeah, you know, the camera on him the whole way through, but more often or as often, that kind of character actor where he'll come on and do a role really well. And I think he knows that what his strengths are. I mean, when Marie mentioned the cowboy aspect, all you have to do is put him in a cowboy outfit with a 10-gallon hat and have the side profile. Mm-hmm. And let him say a few terse words. That's good for me. that does it for me. And there's something kind of almost romantic about that. It taps into our ideas about the old West, doesn't it? This man, a few words, and if he has to shoot, he'll shoot. And he is good humor, but in a really gruff way. So men like him because he's not too sappy. Women like him because he's a man's man and this and that. But what do you think of that? I think he's got like appeal to both genders that way in terms of this is a real macho guy. And yet he does have a somewhat softer, as in, you know, like sort of a twinkle in the eye or a grimace or, you know, something to let you know he's got a sense of humor about life.
I think that is the best description I've ever heard. A few terse words. Yes. And the twinkle in his eye. Absolutely. Yes. He has a presence that I think does appeal to everybody. And he does work that sort of ultimate cowboy and outdoorsman kind of thing. So I'm just going to talk about some of the things came after Lifeguard, such as Mask from 1985, directed by Peter Bogdanovich and starring Cher and Eric Stoltz. And that's the movie about the young teenager who had a facial skull deformity and, you know, his biker gang mother, played by Cher. So, of course, you know, you don't have to literally put cowboy gear on Sam Elliott. Just have him show up as a biker and that also works. You know, it's a different kind of just sort of urban cowboy and he's memorable in that. And then in 87, he makes Fatal Beauty with Whoopi Goldberg, directed by Tom Holland, which is a comedy about, it's really a star vehicle for Whoopi Goldberg. And she's a narcotics cop and she ends up, you know, embroiled in a conspiracy. And in the end, you know, she ends up with Sam Elliott, which should happen to us all, by the way, in terms of storylines that work for everybody. And the reason I think that movie didn't do better when it came out in 87 was the word fatal in the title, because Fatal Attraction also came out. And I can't help but wonder if it would have done better had it had some other title. And you can either pick up there if you want to say something about that, or you can say something about Roadhouse and I'll add on to what
you all I wanted to do was, I just wanted to backtrack for just a moment and talk about Mask a little bit more, because you said something really interesting, really fascinating. When we talk about him with a cowboy image, we tend to think about cowboys for obvious reasons in terms of period pieces. You know, in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, you know, Wild West, you know, something set in the late 19th century. And yet, you know, when you mention the urban cowboy, a lot of, I would say the majority, the great majority of Sam Elliott's roles have been in contemporary stories, right? You know, and yet he has a cowboy sensibility. So what you said that really struck me so much was, you know what, if he plays a biker, he still has those cowboy attributes, including even how he dresses, how he walks and talks and so on. And I suddenly thought of a film that he's not involved with, and yet it came out the same year as Butch Cassidy, and that's Easy Rider. Think about the, you know, the Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper characters. They're on their motorcycles going across the country. Their costumes, and they are costumes in a way, their outfits, oftentimes, you know, particularly like the Dennis Hopper character, he's dressed like a quasi cowboy, some of the hats and this and that. And it's not belabored in the film, it's just simply there in terms of how they're dressed and how they present. But if you are an outlaw, or if not an actual outlaw, at least somebody outside of the system, you know, whether you're riding on a motorcycle or on a horse, you have certain character traits. And Sam Elliott, I think, in movies like Mask, yes, very much a contemporary story. It's a good film, actually. I think it's one of Bogdanovich's better films. As you're watching it, you realize, you know what? A lot of the attributes that this character, the Sam Elliott character, has, It's a contemporary story, but my goodness, what if we flipped it back somehow and had it set, you know, late 19th century? You wouldn't have to change that much in some of the dialogue or the behavior. And that's an area where film actually has a very short timeline. What I'm getting at is you'll have stories that are contemporary, mid to late 20th century, but they're aspects of the storytelling and characterization that are not only influenced by earlier genres and earlier films, but you could just as readily do a rewrite, if you will, and without too much changing, flip it back further. And so Sam Elliott has certain, I'll use a really pompous academic word, and I'm a pompous academic, so I can use it, but, you know, where I'd say a kind of archetypal quality to that kind of a character. And he's played sometimes in deliberately cartoonish way, you know, archetypes of the cowboy figure. And we'll talk some more about that. But let me turn it back over to you for Roadhouse.
You know, I think if somebody had said, you know, Sam Elliott actually is in Easy Rider, he's just one of the guys on bikes, I would totally believe it. You know, he would have fit in perfectly. Okay, so back to Roadhouse. Sam Elliott says this is the movie he is recognized the most for. But ironically, he almost turned it down because he thought it was too similar to his role in Mask. Again, you know, just seemed like a badass. And, you know, otherwise, Roadhouse is not one of my favorite films of Sam Elliott's. He, I think, kind of gets lost in all the beefcake there with Patrick Swayze. And, you know, I rewatched it the other day to, you know, see what I remembered about it. And it was just what I remembered. Every 5 minutes, there somebody is getting into a fist fight. But, you know, a lot of people love this movie, so I don't, this just isn't my favorite one of his. So I wanted to talk a little bit about his Christmas movies, unless you have something you want to say about Roadhouse.
Well, the movie I want to talk about more than any other is The Big Lebowski.
Okay, go for The Big Lebowski, and then I'll take it back with the Christmas movies.
It's my favorite Sam Elliott film. First of all, it's so enduring. I mean, our language was changed because of it. You know, when the Jeff Bridges character, you know, Lebowski, he's one of the Lebowskis, when he said, you know, the dude abides and lines like that. Over the years, when, I mean, we use the Coen brothers in a lot of our film courses and, you know, and typically, you know, we'll watch, let's say, Fargo or something, but we'll also talk about other Coen brothers films. And the moment I mentioned Big Lebowski, many of my students who weren't even born when it came out in 1998, they know that film. And wherever they acquired their dude speak, it's really close to the way Jeff Bridges' character talks. And it's really a cult classic, isn't it? And the reason in particular I'll mention it is that the Coen brothers, of course, work exceptionally well with actors, and actors love to work with them. So they get really great cast. And Big Lebowski, I mean, essentially, if you haven't seen it, it's a picaresque, meandering, deliberately meandering story. And Bridges, Lebowski, kind of prides himself on not doing much of anything. You know, he you know, runs around with his friends and he has a drink and he tells a joke and, you know, this, that. He's not exactly ambitious in terms of career, okay? So he's just sort of goofing off. He's the dude, he'll abide, life goes by, get over it. You know, he doesn't sweat things. And so it's actually, I think, probably Jeff Bridges', you know, most famous performance in some ways. But back to the acting, when the Coen brothers cast their films, my goodness, the actors they can get. In Big Lebowski, a partial list would be, of course, Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Julianne Moore, Steve Buscemi, Philip Seymour Hoffman, John Turturro, David Thewlis. I mean, it's just like all these great, distinctive actors. And a lot of it is show-offy. I mean, you know who these actors are and what they represent, and they're having fun together. They're visibly having fun on screen in a film that doesn't take itself too seriously. Now, where is Sam Elliott in all this? He plays a character known only as the Stranger. Watch the film and everything we were saying about a cowboy image, the whole persona is there. He is a cowboy, and yet it's contemporary America. And is he even a character? He's so enigmatic. He kind of walks through it. He's the narrator telling us the story, but he doesn't really have involvement in any of this. To the extent that there's a significant scene in the film that things matter, you know, it's a film noirish thing. There's a lot of story and it is significant at that level, but it's all a lark. It's all a goof. It's all having fun. But he just kind of walks in periodically. So like he'll disappear for minutes on end. And then in the middle of a scene in a bowling alley or wherever, suddenly there's the Stranger again. It's a kind of metaphysical puzzle actually as to where does he live otherwise? Who is he? What does he do? He has that narrative function. And near the end of the film, really as you get to the end of the film, it's been such an episodic, such a picaresque film, even by Coen Brothers standards for the silly comedies, that the Stranger will give his assessment at the end of the film of the story that the dude has just told or just lived through. And it's my favorite moment with Sam Elliott. And he said, I can't do it justice, but this is what he says near the end of Big Lebowski. It was a pretty good story, don't you think? Made me laugh to beat the band. Parts, anyway.
Great movie. And I agree, that's a great performance by Sam Elliott. I want to mention, since we are in the Christmas season, that there are two Sam Elliott movies that you can watch with a Christmas theme. One of them is 1989's Prancer, directed by John D. Hancock. And it's a story set on a farm about a young girl who rescues a wounded reindeer that she believes is one of Santa's, hoping to bring it back to health in time for Christmas. It is, you know, the holiday and reindeer aside, this story bears a strong resemblance to that of Pollyanna from 1960. The other more recent one is a movie from 2010 called November Christmas, which stars Sam Elliott, John Corbett, and Sarah Paulson. Sam Elliott plays, you know, the neighbor who, you know, is aware of a young girl's battle against cancer and, you know, wants to, you know, pull together to make Christmas happen in November, just in case the youngster doesn't make it. Both of these are wonderful, heartwarming films, family stories, but in both cases, he gets to play the sort of gruff male figure and sort of, you know, not, we're not talking about it being a cowboy movie, but, you know, they make the most of either the small town setting or the fact that it's actually set on a farm. And again, you know, just put him in some boots and the man is right at home. But I wanted to ask you, Mike, what you thought of him in his actual, you know, the lexicon of movies that he has made that are legitimate Westerns based on actual people from, you know, the days of the Wild West. Not just in movies, but on TV, he's had an opportunity to play several roles to the point where, you know, it got to the point where if there was anything advertised, you know, Louis L'Amour's whatever, it's like, well, does it have Sam Elliott in it? Because if not, then it's not a real Western. So starting with Tombstone in 1993, I think this is one of the movies that is like a iconic Western anyway, and it has Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer in it, and of course Sam Elliott, and they all do a great job of their roles. But of course, to me, Sam Elliott is the ultimate cowboy, and I think he carries the movie. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Tombstone actually works really well at that level. When you mentioned the casting of it, think of those actors. They're trying to outgruff each other, you know? I mean, it's really, you know, it's smart casting that way. And it's been a while since I've seen Tombstone, but I remember the film as being like really so macho and so much that Wild West ethos. So if you're casting it, sure, go with Sam Elliott. And, you know, he's born for a role like that. So there are a few movies like that where he gets to really play to those attributes very directly. The High-Low Country from 1998 would be another example. I mean, you get films where he can, you know, sort of play that gruff outsider type. And again, he's really good at it. I think the risk that an actor could run here or be up against, you don't want to be like so typecast that you're always getting those roles. And I think in his career, he's done enough other things where he has those character attributes, but doesn't get locked into always playing the same thing.
Well, the participants of what became known as the gunfight at the OK Corral were Virgil Morgan and Wyatt Earp, and Sam Elliott plays Virgil, and Doc Holliday versus Tom and Frank McLaurie, Billy and Ike Clanton, and Billy Claiborne. So those characters, you know, come up in other Westerns, and Tombstone kind of, you know, gets them all together, gets the gang back together to, you know, give you that depiction of that time. By the way, if you go back and watch that one again, when Virgil and the wives depart Tombstone, their rail car is number 5150, the California welfare code for the criminally insane, made famous by Van Halen. And Sam Elliott would, like I said, would go on to make a whole bunch of TV projects like The Sacketts and The Shadow Riders, Travis McGee, The Quick and the Dead, The Yellow Rose, Buffalo Girls, Desperate Trail, Rough Riders. So, I mean, he's, you know, he's made enough Westerns that, you know, he, like I said, he's just the quintessential cowboy. He also made a TV movie called You Know My Name in 1999, which I watched the other day on Netflix. Also very interesting depiction. You know, who can outgruff everybody else. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Thank You for Smoking, which came out in 2005, because they actually based his character on the, you know, the Marlboro Man. And the real Marlboro Man, who contracted lung cancer, testified for anti-smoking legislation. But, you know, as soon as I read that fact that the character Sam Elliott plays is based on the real Marlboro Man, I thought, well, perfect, because who could better embody the idea of the Marlboro Man than Sam Elliott?
Well, it's all about advertising, isn't it? Think about when people selected a brand of cigarettes to have. When I was growing up, a lot of my friends who wanted to be tough guys, not that they were, but, you know, wanted to project that, what would they smoke? Well, they're not going to smoke Virginia Slims, right? They would be smoking Marlboro as often as not. You know, I mean, think about all those TV ads. And even if they learned, as I learned, you know, quite a few years ago, that the actual Marlboro Man, the model, if you will, had died of lung cancer, you would think that would scare anyone off of cigarettes, right? But the fact that that image was so lasting and so powerful that it really, there was a kind of synchronicity of having, you know, Sam Elliott, you know, actually play that kind of character. Because after all, we're talking about iconography. The actual Wild West, you know, was quite different from our mythologized Wild West, that shootout at the OK Corral. When you read the actual historical accounts, they're oftentimes quite at odds with the way it's presented in movies. But, you know, people want the legend. They want that image, you know, printed or repeated. And he's really good at playing that. And maybe in some of his movies, playing against it a little bit, but still, it's a point of identification. You feel like you're watching the Marlboro Man. And even if you should disapprove of that for various reasons, there's something so appealing about that in terms of the American character. You can call it stereotypical. You can say it's not true to real life and on that way. But it's so ingrained in the American character, if you will, that many audiences just automatically will respond to that.
I have a great anecdote about Thank You for Smoking with Sam Elliott, because one of the conditions to do the part was to have him carry a rifle in a scene instead of the scripted shotgun. So, you know, they agreed to change the script. And then when they were about to do the scene, the director realized he'd forgotten all about the rifle. So went to the prop wagon, you know, frantically looking, you know, hoping to find one. And there were three guns laying on the tailgate, two shotguns and a rifle. So he picked up the rifle. Sam Elliott picked up the rifle, and the director breathed a sigh of relief and said to Sam Elliott, "Do you need instruction on how to use it?" And Sam Elliott said, no, he knew how to use it because it was his. You know, he just shows up with his own gear. You know, what a great actor. So I want to talk a little bit about I want to think of it as a second act for his later roles, where he plays, you know, the really attractive older boyfriend of various actresses in various roles, starting with 2015's I'll See You in My Dreams with Blythe Danner. By the way, they wrote that script apparently in 2 weeks and shot it in 18 days. And if you watch it, you'll see Sam Elliott drinking Coors on his boat. He has been the spokesperson for Coors for a while, so I'm sure that was not a coincidence. But, you know, you meet Blythe Danner as an older woman who, you know, is sort of finding that, you know, she might have another chapter in her life, and she meets Sam Elliott. And then there is 2017's The Hero, where he plays an ailing movie star coming to terms with his past and mortality. Now, I want to play a clip from that movie because it starts off with an absolutely hilarious scene where Sam Elliott plays basically himself, a guy who is, you know, now sort of retired, but everybody just loves that gravelly voice of his. And he gets a lot of voice work, including this, which is for Lone Star Barbecue Sauce. And they have him repeat this several times. So here is the quote.
Lone Star Barbecue Sauce, the perfect partner for your chicken.
Can you just run it a few more times, Lee?
Lone Star Barbecue Sauce, the perfect partner for your chicken. Lone Star Barbecue Sauce, the perfect partner for your chicken. Lone Star Barbecue Sauce, the perfect partner for your chicken.
Okay, so, you know, he also did Grandma in 2015 with Lily Tomlin, where he plays, you know, an old boyfriend that she goes to visit on this road trip she's making with her granddaughter, who is looking to terminate a pregnancy. And you know, she meets up with Sam Elliott, you know, they talk about old times. It's interesting because, you know, he also appears as a character in Grace and Frankie, which is a Netflix show with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. And in that one, he plays an old boyfriend of Jane Fonda's. I wanted to mention very briefly that if you like Westerns, definitely check out the show Justified, which is a Timothy Oliphant show. But Sam Elliott, of course, shows up in it. He also did a movie called The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot in 2018, Beyond Bizarre, and has been in a show, another Netflix vehicle called The Ranch, where he plays a guy who is still running his ranch, and he has all of these, you know, domestic issues with his sons and his wife, played by Deborah Winger. And it's, you know, an older man's look at the world from where he is running his ranch. And each episode gives you these hilarious opportunities for him to poke fun at some aspect of pop culture. So in one show, he's saying that his sons say that he's spending too much time gossiping about people and that apparently he's some kind of orange housewife. So it has, he gets all of the great lines, which he gets to deliver in that sort of laconic, laid back, cynical way. So I do want to mention that he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role in A Star is Born in 2018. And that he shares a birthday with Smokey the Bear since, and has been the voice of Smokey the Bear since 2008. And has been inducted into the International Mustache Hall of Fame in 2015. Inaugural class in the category film and television. So Mike, any last words about Sam Elliott before we break for the holiday?
Well, we talk about actors who age gracefully. He ages gruffly. And he's been really wonderful playing a whole series of old boyfriends, if you will, but very smart casting. He knows how to play that image. He's really good. And it's partly, again, that physical presence. He does, and we should have mentioned this throughout the show, he's got one of the great mustaches of all time, doesn't he?
He does.
He also has one of the most distinctive voices. So I thought it was amusing where in an animated film like Marmaduke, he's part of the vocal talent, because the moment you hear that voice, you just know that's Sam Elliott.
It's got to be Sam Elliott. Nobody has that voice and nobody has that mustache. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Don't forget to check out our other episodes on dragondigitalradio.podbean.com, and we will see you at the movies.
See you then.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.